Greetings in the blessed name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that with Peter of old you can say concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, unto us who believe, he is precious. And in the language of the Song of Solomon, yea, he is altogether lovely. As we continue our study of the correspondence course, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, get your Bibles and textbooks ready, and once again, let's consider chapter 1, The Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. If you would like one of these books edited by Dr. Schofield, to close the broadcast, the announcer will give you all the details. We'll be most happy to mail you a copy. Will you now join with me in prayer? Our God and Father, we bow before you today in that ever-precious name, the name of the coming King, the name of the Christ of glory, the Christ of Calvary's cross, our Lord Jesus. And as we come to you in his name, we ask a blessing, Lord, for every listener. Father, meet the needs of your children who are listening. Strengthen and encourage every Christian. And may each heart of those who know the Lord Jesus love him even more after studying the Word of God together today. And Father, for those who are out of Christ, those, Heavenly Father, who do not know the Redeemer, those who lack the assurance that the Word of God gives, that they who have Christ have life, speak to them, Father, and before this broadcast comes to a conclusion today, may there be some listeners who will say, yes, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a guilty, needy, lost sinner, and in faith I will repent and turn to Christ. I'll believe on the Lord Jesus, accept him as my Savior. May it be so, Father, because again we ask it in the only name by which we can approach your throne, the name of your Son, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord willing, in the next few weeks, as we go through this course written by Dr. Schofield, the Emmaus Correspondence course entitled Rightly Dividing the Truth, we will be considering such things as the seven dispensations, the two Advents, the two resurrections, the judgments, five of them, law and grace, the believer's two natures, and other subjects. And we would encourage you, if you're at all interested, to join with us by ordering one of your own copies so that you can study the Word of God along with us each Saturday morning. But this morning we'll continue noticing the differences between the three classifications of people, the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church. Are those who are Jewish because of physical birth, those who are non-Jewish and are therefore Gentiles by their physical birth, and the third group, who have been formerly among both Jews and Gentiles, but are now make up the group known as the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they have come out of the group known as Jews or the group known as Gentiles because of a second birth, a new birth, a spiritual birth, a birth that comes from Almighty God. We have seen that God's promises to Israel were all earthbound promises, while all the promises to his church were heavenly promises. We saw last week that both Israel and the church had a beginning. Israel began when God, in his matchless grace, called Abram from Ur of the Chaldees and promised to make of him a great nation, with his descendants outnumbering the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. We read from Matthew's Gospel where the Lord Jesus himself spoke of his church as being in the future. For he said after Peter's great confession, upon this rock I will build my church. We find this church commencing or being born in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter and all those who were present with him on that occasion. And then in verse 47 we read, and the Lord added to the church daily those such as were being saved. Also last week a brief look at some of the scriptures began to point out not the comparisons but the sharp contrast that exists between the Jew or Israel and the church. Today, as we continue looking at scriptures, we will find that not only in their origin, but also concerning their calling, their promise, their worship, their principles of conduct, and their future destiny, it's all contrast, not comparison, not similarities, but differences that exist between Israel, God's chosen earthly people, and his blood-bought church, the church which he loved and for which he gave himself. The church is his chosen earthly people. First, let's consider the differences, the contrast between Israel and the church as it relates to their calling. Mind you, we've already noticed that there's a difference in their origin. And now as to their calling, we find from Genesis chapter 12 that God spoke to Israel, and we read, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Note, unto a land that I will show thee. How much in contrast is what he tells us, those of us who make up his church, those of us who have been born again, some from the nation of Israel, some from the Gentiles, but have all been added as we trusted the Lord Jesus to his body, the church. And concerning us, we read in Hebrews 3:1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, no promise of an earthly inheritance." Further, we read from Philippians 3:20, "But our citizenship is in heaven." See the contrast? When he spoke to Israel, he promised them things that related to this earth. When he speaks to the Christians, to that body that he calls affectionately his church or his bride, all of our promises, our calling, is related to heaven. From Deuteronomy chapter 8 we read, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." This would appeal to the human heart, would it not? To be promised all these things by God, the great supplier. And yet, when God, by contrast, by difference, mind you, turns to that group of people known as his church, he says in Matthew 8, "And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Though he was the Creator, though he had made the heavens and the earth, rejected as the Messiah when he came to this earth, he had no place to call home once he began his public ministry. From 1 Peter we read, chapter 1, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Yes, those who loved God from the nation of Israel, those who were his chosen earthly people here, as they loved him, as they obeyed him, they were promised earthly possessions, earthly blessings. But to the Christian, to the child of God, our inheritance is in heaven. It's reserved for us, kept there by the power of God. And he's not promised us the bed of roses down here. Further, we read concerning the Christian, concerning his church, 1 Corinthians 4, "Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place." Yet Israel was promised bread without scarceness. Israel was promised olive oil, and honey, and vines, and fig trees. But the followers of the Lord Jesus are not promised a place to lay their head. They are not promised full stomachs. But we are promised an inheritance in heaven, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. From Genesis chapter 24, once again concerning Israel, we read, "And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my servant, pardon me, my master, greatly. And he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels." Yes, God blessed Israel. He blessed Abraham and Israel through Abraham. They had much, all that they needed. But what about the Christian? From Mark chapter 10, "And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God." and from James chapter 2, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" Yes, Israel was promised riches and wealth and blessing, abundance, but not so for the child of God down here. May I remind you, ours is waiting for us, reserved in heaven. From Deuteronomy chapter 28 we read, "The Lord shall cause thine enemies that shall rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." God's promise to his chosen earthly people, Israel. But what about the Christians? From John 16 we read, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." This was true in the days just following the birth of the church. Saul of Tarsus was one who thought he was doing God service. A friend of mine, that philosophy, that way of thinking has continued right up until this day. And there are those today being put to death for Christ's sake. There are prisons where those who have stood up for the Lord Jesus are incarcerated today in lands not too far from our own country, and they think that they do God's service. These are the promises of trials and tribulations and persecutions that the true child of God can expect, but not so with Israel. For we read in Deuteronomy 28, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath." God's promise to Israel. But concerning the Christian, the child of God, from Matthew 18 we read, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Part of Christianity is humility, taking the low place. And this is the difference. This is the contrast in the calling that God issued forth to his chosen earthly people, Israel, and what he has given to us, the Christian. The distinction is that the incentive to godliness in the case of Israel was earthly blessings, not heavenly. And for us, it's what God has prepared and reserved in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for us. Aren't you glad, friend of mine, Christian friend of mine, that you belong to the Lord Jesus, and he has put on reserve for you that which he knows to be best for you? And he has not reserved for us to inherit this land. It should be needless to say that in this dispensation, in the day which we're living, neither Jew nor Gentile can be saved otherwise than by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and being born again. Born from above, born of God, Jew and Gentile, they must come the same way if they would be added unto the church, which is his body, that body of believers cleansed by his blood and saved by his grace. Friend of mine, let me ask you today, it matters not whether you're Jew or Gentile, but it does matter whether or not you're in Christ. Are you in Christ? If not, why not? "For as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, added to his body, to his church, even to as many as would believe on his name." Will you do it today? If you will, God will bless you for it. Do so for his name's sake.